T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We are back with another edition of Black Hole Sunday. Stephen Langford, Joe Spadoni, 95.7 The Game. Joe Spadoni works with Willard and Dibs along with Steiny and Guru. Of course, I work the morning show from 5 to 6, the pregame show, which is where you're finding this podcast right now. And this is Black Hole Sundays, the podcast for Raider fans, by Raider fans, for the select few of you who are still within the Bay Area. And Spadoni, it's been a couple of weeks here. So Friday, we had the Hall of Fame game. The Jaguars lose 27-11 to the Raiders. The Raiders did not look terrible, but there are some takeaways from that game that we do want to talk about. There are some injuries to talk about. And then also Darren Waller is going to be the main one. And we'll get to the latest with him, but he also was on a podcast too. And I want to get to something that he had to say about this offense for this year and Josh McDaniels and what they're looking for specifically in the red zone. And I think it's something that you and I have already talked about with the addition of Josh McDaniels. So we're going to get to all of that in this podcast. But again, they beat the Jaguars 27-11. Jarrett Stidham, 8-for-15 with 96 yards. He also, who ran that one in for a touchdown? Which quarterback was that ran one in?
It was Stidham, yeah. He's got the wheels, man. Don't sleep. Or was that Chase Garbers?
Oh, anyway, God.
It all the backups kind of blend in at certain points. Nick Mullins, Stidham, who was it? Slaughter, whatever his name is.
Yes, Slaughter.
Slaughter got literally released 2 days after that game. So,
Jake Luton, the other guy.
It's just fun to see football back on your TV. It gets you in the feel for things. It's like, okay, Hall of Fame game's here. That means college is coming up. Right. And I get some college feel. Then I get the NFL. Then I get the first game Thursday night. So, I'm just excited to see. It gets you acclimated too. As we're in the sports industry, it's nice to see just going through the motions. Okay, that was a false start. Okay, what are they going to emphasize the preseason that they'll probably emphasize more in the regular season? Like we saw a taunting penalty. What was it? I think yesterday in the New England game that was kind of BS. I hate the taunting rule. Just we saw it last year with Darren Waller in that Chargers game on Monday night where he was flagged once and could have been flagged again, just judging by what was going. So
that's
what preseason's for. Just for me anyways, just watching what the refs are calling and not calling and stuff like that.
Yep. So the passing game, Jarrett Stidham was 8-for-15 with 96 yards. Nick Mullins was 8-for-11 with 72 yards. Chase Garbers comes in at the end, 4-for-6, 35 yards. 6.4 on average for Stidham, 6.5 on average for Mullins, and 5.8 on average for Garbers. But that's not what we were focusing on. The big story coming out of that game, if there's any, is, and this is something we didn't see with John Gruden ever, it was Josh Jacobs coming in and actually getting the start, not only for one, for not one, but for two series. And he had 5 carries for 30 yards. He did have the long rush of 12 where he looked like that version of Josh Jacobs that we've known, which is, you know, that guy who can get you 10 to 15 yards, but not really much more than that. He's not going to be that dude who is going to outrun everybody, but he can finesse people at the line of scrimmage and he can use that speed too, that burst through the hole. But Josh Jacobs for the first couple of series. Now, before we get to Josh McDaniels and what he said after the game, what was your initial reaction when you saw that? When you saw Josh Jacobs is actually getting the start?
I thought he was like in the doghouse. Like, that's what you think immediately, right? It's like you're getting Hall of Fame. You were a Pro Bowl type caliber. Was Josh Jacobs a Pro Bowler? Might have not been. Anyways, he's rookie of the year runner up, anyways. And you are the franchise running back for the Las Vegas Raiders. And you're taking first team reps. That's what they are. They're reps, basically, in the Hall of Fame game, which is the most meaningless game in the history of football. It's like, I thought it was disrespectful. I mean, from a fan's perspective, right? That's just how you're looking at it. And then slowly start realizing afterwards, it's like, okay, they took him out after two series. Looked good, by the way. Leon, you talked about that burst he had. Looked fresh. Something we didn't really see last year with Jacobs early on. He got hurt against Baltimore. Just never really fully looked right until that last game against the Chargers. Like, towards the end, he started looking like Josh Jacobs, which is, you kind of don't see the opposite, where they start out strong and then fade towards the end. Josh came on strong last year, which was good to see, and hopefully a sign of things to come. But yeah, I mean, it was just weird, you know, just seeing him the first couple series, and then start to realize, like, okay, McDaniels comes from Belichick. They're kind of weird guys. They like playing starters. I mean, Tom Brady played in like the preseason for like more than half of his career. It's like, this guy's Tom Brady. I mean, once he started to get to like 38, 39, and 40, they're like, all right, let's pull back on that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, this, I think this is just McDaniels coming from that Belichick system. Let's see what we got here. It's going to be a running back by committee for the most part, I would think, with Josh McDaniels in that offense. So I think it's nothing to see here.
Yeah, and I had the same thought, though, because when you combine the declining of the fifth-year option, what's going to happen this season with Jacobs, we didn't know. So I thought after those first couple of series, I really did think it was odd. But then after the game, McDaniels says that he believes that it's good for running backs to get the experience in the preseason so they can get some live ball reps, get used to being hit, and they don't want that happening in the regular season. Especially when it comes to Jacobs, who is going to be getting hit a lot this year. And that's actually some foreshadowing for something that Darren Waller had to say. So we'll get to that sound. But nothing much to worry about. And even through the week, it was asked, there was some speculation, like, is he throwing him out there so that he could, you know, possibly raise his trade value? But that didn't make any sense to me. I'm like, raise his trade value? How's he going to raise his trade value through a Hall of Fame game? Yeah, you know what? Here's how I'm going to raise his trade value, Spadoni. I'm going to have him carry the ball a grand total of 5 times in week 1 of a preseason game.
Yeah, and let me trade value for a guy who didn't get his option picked up on his rookie deal, who is a running back, first of all, who everyone just drafts a running back anyways in the 3rd or 4th round every year.
Yep.
Yeah, what are you going to get? A 5th round, 6th round pick for Josh Jacobs? Like, come on.
Yeah.
Stop it. This is dumb.
too much speculation, too much of an overreaction, I thought. And then Josh McDaniels put all of that to bed a couple of days ago, where he calls him JJ now. He doesn't call him Josh. He calls him JJ. And this is the quote from McDaniels. JJ's a guy. We know what he's done. We have a lot of confidence in JJ. He did well with his opportunities. We have no desire to trade him at all. So let's forget about any of that. Forget Josh Jacobs being traded. Let's focus on this season. Too much speculation from a Hall of Fame game. But continuing to talk with the running backs, though, easy for me to say. Zamir White got a heavy load, 11 carries, 52 yards. He also caught a couple of passes out of the backfield. He actually caught 3. He was 3 for 23, had a long of 19. He had 4 targets, so he caught 3 of his 4. Zamir White, man, this 4th rounder out of Georgia, he looks good in his first game. I know you don't want to overreact too much because, again, it's a Hall of Fame game, but man, 11 carries for 52 yards. I want to see more from White.
Yeah, it's not so much who he's playing against, too. You just want to see the guy in space, what he looks like. Is he physical? We saw that. Like, he pushed the pile. He had a hit stick on one of the Jags defenders for a first down. That was nice to see. I mean, God, that Georgia team was just so stacked, that national championship team. You're going to see a lot of those guys this year in the NFL in their rookie season. Zamir White, man.
Not to cut you off, but did you see the Jordan Davis thing?
Davis against the Eagles, the center. Like, oh, it was so ridiculous. That's one of the biggest humans I've ever seen. Like, literally. Like, he's what, like 6'6", like 370 pounds or something?
Yes. He had the poor rookie lineman playing leapfrog trying to stop him. It was hilarious. Anyway, continue on with Zamir White. I'm sorry. You're good.
No, it's funny you bring that up because I was definitely thinking about that. Actually, apparently, sorry, now that we're talking about this, I saw Mitchell Schwartz tweet, former offensive lineman for the Chiefs. He's retired now. But he was saying the guy for the Eagles that was blocking Davis was actually doing a good job, because it wasn't up until like 4 or 5 seconds after he was pushing him that he got even got to like back to the pocket. So the quarterback should have gotten out in time. So it's not as bad as it looked. Anyways, Zamir White, I thought that was interesting. Zamir White looked great. And I think, yeah, just to go back, like it's going to be a running back by committee thing. So it's going to be Jacobs. You would like to see White in there. Obviously, Drake will be involved. He played. Abdullah, it's another guy that's in there. So I'm excited. Like, this is what a Patriots offense, like, and I'm not saying it's going to be exactly like the Patriots offense, because obviously Tom Brady is different than Derek Carr. Josh McDaniels is going to build the strengths of this team around Derek Carr and what he does best.
Right.
So whether that's play action, which I think you'll see a lot of, which will be great, play action, quick passes out into the flat to like these running backs, like a Zamir White would be awesome. So yeah, that's just what I'm so excited to see about. And you're not tipping your hand like in a Hall of Fame game or any of these preseason games. But you get a feel of kind of what Josh McDaniels might call during the regular season with plays here and plays there, some trick plays, stuff like that. So Zamir White, add him to the list of guys who's going to contribute this year. Like, this offense is stacked, Steven. We keep talking about it.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. And the depth there at running back with Zamir and then Kenyon Drake. Austin Walter got a little bit of time. He got a touchdown. But to be honest, I think he's just most likely, and this is what he's been throughout his career so far since 2019. He's most likely going to be a practice squad guy. I don't really expect him to be a part of this roster moving forward. But Zamir White is just an instant upgrade over Jalen Richard. I don't know what's going to happen with him and Kenyon Drake and how they're going to disperse this running back core. I don't know what McDaniel's plan is, but Zamir White has at least shown that. And this dude is speedy, man. I really like him. I really like this fourth rounder. And you know what this does too? I mean, Josh Jacobs really wants to play JJ. We're calling him JJ now. It's no longer Josh Jacobs. We're calling him JJ. This dude does not want to be traded. He doesn't want to go anywhere. He understands they declined their fifth-year option, but you know what? I think he's going to go out to prove something. And if you got Zamir White who's sitting back there, I mean, Josh, that's just going to motivate Josh Jacobs even more to try and show out this year to try and get a new contract.
Oh, absolutely. He's a Georgia guy, too. Beat his Alabama team in the national championship. Come on. Yeah. That was an ass-whooping in that championship game.
Yes, it was.
No, but it's a great point. Iron sharpens iron, man. Like, you see it, like you saw me by this little fight broke out earlier this week in training camp for the Raiders. It was Max Crosby and a little fight, a little chippy. I like that sort of stuff, though. That's what you want. You want these young guys to push these older guys, these veterans. And Josh Jacobs not old. What is he, like 26, 27? He's not old at all. So just excited, man. I'm excited. Yeah. I feel like Guru right now, man. Like, I'm tingling. We got more preseason football tonight. We're going to see Trey Lance in action for the Niners.
Finally.
Got a lot of stuff happening, man.
Now, there is a lot, though, when it comes to injuries, and we will talk about Darren Waller in just a second, but Colton Miller didn't play in this game, and he and Brandon Parker was playing in his stead, and Jarrett Stidham, who was the starter for this team, he got sacked 3 times, and even on that opening play with that throw to Keelan Cole, which was a nice little ball up there, but that was Keelan Cole's only reception of the day. The offensive line was getting pushed around, and at right tackle, they are currently throwing out this 7th round draft pick whose name is escaping me because I totally had it written down, and now it's completely gone. Where did it go? I'm trying to find it.
The Thayer Munford?
Thayer Munford. I was about to call him Thurman Munson.
Shout out Munford and Sons.
Thayer Munford has been getting run with the first team as of right now. Alex Leatherwood is the de facto right tackle if Brandon Parker starts at left tackle. Do you think there's any need to sign a free agent based on this?
Yes, but this is a big but. Shout out Bubble Butts. I trust Ziegler and McDaniels when it comes to this offense, like specifically Josh McDaniels. Like, if he feels like he needs another offensive lineman, like, absolutely go trade for one or sign one, whoever's out there. I think Williams, former Bill, is out there. People are trying to get him or linking him to the Raiders or something like that. So that's one.
Mm-hmm.
But if McDaniel's not worried, I'm not going to worry about it. Like, in the past, yes, but McDaniel's, like, he survived in New England. Granted, he had one of the greatest offensive line coaches of all time in Dante Scarnecchia. With that Bill Belichick team. team, so that helped. But also, like, he had a 40-year-old quarterback. Like, he knows what to do with an offensive line and scheme around it, hide its weaknesses. He was calling a lot of screens, which I think was going to be very important this year. You saw that in the Hall of Fame game. Yeah. When's the last time you saw the Raiders do any, like, screen that actually worked?
No, right? Not a lot.
Been a very long time. Nor do you want them to. Like, yeah. It's been a very long time. So I'm not too worried about it. Like, if we see it in week one against the Chargers and Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack are just destroying the left and the right side, I'll be concerned then. Until then, I'm not too worried about it.
Yeah,
and it was Dylan Parham, the rookie that got into it with Max Crosby.
You mentioned Darrell Williams, and I think that's the guy they got to go for if they're going to go for anybody, because the free agent right tackles right now are as follows. Brian Bulaga from the Chargers. He was a first round pick with the Packers back in 2010, but he's not the same player that he once was. Brian Bulaga, just not looking the same. Marcus Cannon from Houston. Eh. Mike Remmers from Kansas City. Eh. Bobby Massey from Denver. These other guys, I don't really even know who they are. Ty Nishecki, 36 years old from Dallas. Josh Wells.
Yeah, he's a competitor.
But Darrell Williams, though, I'm sharing this right now with you on the screen. His PFF grade looks pretty decent. And a majority of the snaps that he played were on the right side. Majority at guard. He also played right tackle. I'm sure that was to make up for. An injury or something like that. But normally he's a guard. But if they can get him at tackle, I'm fine with that. But I could see it being pretty likely that they just stand pat and hope. But also, Brandon Parker did not practice yesterday. And we actually got quite a few players who didn't practice yesterday. Darren Waller has not practiced since July 30th. It's been a very long time for him. Jacob Hollister was out. Brandon Parker, Cleveland Furl, Divine Diablo, Kenny Young, Rocky Asin, Anthony Averett, Waller, Parker, Farrell, Diablo, Yasin, and Averett are players that have missed several practices. But Darren Waller is the main one that everyone's worried about. And Adam Schefter had the tweet earlier this morning that it was due to a hamstring injury. Now, they said that it's not that serious. It's not reported as serious. But I think we can all agree, Spadone, that we do not need to see Darren Waller at all until the regular season. Like, just put him in bubble wrap. Who cares? After seeing that last year, what happened at Thanksgiving during that Cowboys game and then beyond, we don't need to see another injury to Waller, especially if it's a hamstring injury. So they're going to be, as you put it, extra cautious.
Oh, absolutely. And like, I don't need to see Derek Carr. I don't need to see Davante Adams. I don't need to see Darren Waller. Colton Miller, don't need to see you. I know what you can do. Like, the proven guys that have gotten extensions, I don't need to see anything from them. Granted, Waller wants an extension, but hopefully he gets one soon. But I don't need to see anything from him. I know what I'm getting from him. Dr. Brian Feely was on with Willard and Dibbs earlier this week.
Yeah.
He was talking about how, you know, it's very common for hamstring strains to happen in training camp. Like, it's one of the more common injuries. So Guy works for UCSF, super smart, orthopedic surgery, knows what he's doing, works with athlete injuries all the time.
Yeah.
He was just saying, nothing to see here with hamstring strains. Brandon Ayuk had one for the Niners. Just stay off of it. You'll be fine.
Well, is it a regular nothing to see here, or is it a Naked Gun nothing to see here where the house is
behind
Wilson, where he says, okay, nothing to see here.
That injury he had, because it was the one in Dallas that happened, and they said it was a hamstring. But the way that one looked, they listed it as a hamstring. It looked worse than that. Like, it looked like his knee was contorted.
Yeah.
Like, they were saying it was like this IT band, hyperextension, whatever the hell that is. I didn't even know. Like, that sounds like you went to ITT Tech and like that was the band you played for.
Wow.
I give myself a 2 for that one.
There you go. Well,
I've been on vacation. but yeah, it's like that injury looked way worse than more than a hamstring. Now, that's what they listed, so I'll believe them at face value, but I'm not worried about it, Steve.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either.
Maybe it's just because I've been on vacation. I'm just chilling. I'm feeling great. I'm not worrying about him.
Well, you know what,
Until he's not playing week one, I don't think there's reason to worry.
And give Foster Moreau as many reps as you possibly can.
Got a great backup option. Absolutely. Go Tigers.
Yes, as long go Tigers. He's got to get better in run blocking. So if they can do that with Foster Moreau and get him going, I'm not worried about Darren Waller at all. And maybe that's just a homer take to have. But when you see their injury's not serious, you could just it's safe to assume. Yeah, they're just going to keep him out for the preseason.
The most interesting part was, and I'm sure you teased it again, but maybe we can get into it now. Was Darren Waller. Mm-hmm. You know, he was on with Will Compton. What was it? Bussing with the boys.
Hang on. I'll get that ready.
And, you know, he was talking about just getting more looks in the red zone.
Yes.
That's just one of the problems with this. Oh, look at that. I'll let you play it.
All right. Here we go.
A lot of times in the past couple of years where I felt like I didn't have it was like a clear defined attack in the red zone or like a plan for me specifically. I felt like it was just kind of like, the fuck am I doing sometimes?
Yeah.
But now I kind of feel like that's something that's in place with Josh and developing just off of this offseason alone. So it's kind of asking him about how did your role in the red zone come about? Because that's a big thing. For me, there's no reason why my big ass shouldn't be,
Oh yeah, but I'm
dominating in the red zone at all times,
Why my big ass should not be dominating in the red zone at all times.
All due respect to Hunter Renfrow, and he gets open and he gets his touchdowns, but dude's 5'11", 5'10". How is he getting more targets in the red zone than Darren freaking Waller? And I remember a play, it was that Monday night game back in LA last year against the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
He just rose up, Derek just threw it. They were already down by 20 or whatever it was, but then they were making that comeback and that first touchdown or second, whichever one it was, they just tossed it just over all the corners' heads who were way shorter than Darren Waller. Darren Waller just jumped up and got it. Sometimes it's as simple as that. Let the guy run a route one-on-one. Darren Waller is going to win that battle 9 times out of 10. He's bigger than you. He's stronger than you. He's more athletic than you. And all those corners, just let your playmakers make plays. And I think Gruden, I don't know if it's stubbornness or what, but God, the play calling in the red zone is just atrocious. It cost him so many games last year.
Yeah. It felt like they were just confused as to how they were going to use him in the red zone. Now, Darren Waller, he'd get maybe 3 at the most, maybe 4 in the red zone, but most of the time you're seeing these targets, it's week 3, 1, week 4, 1, week 5, 1, week 9, 3, week 10, 1, week 11, 2. You need those numbers to consistently, if you're in the red zone, I want to see at least 2 or 3 per game for Darren Waller in the red zone. And if not, I want to see you doing something creative with Josh Jacobs and getting him going in the end zone too. And, creating something like LeGarrette Blount, where LeGarrette Blount was primarily used as a red zone back, getting 18 touchdowns that 1 year with the Patriots. But Darren Waller needs to be the number one red zone option.
Sorry, not to cut you off, Steve. I love Jacobs just as a thumper in the red zone or short yardage. It felt last year, they always just got too cute, 4th and inches,
mm-hmm.
3rd and 1, 4th and 1, whatever it is. They got too cute when really you just, let your playmaker make a play. Josh is so good at diving over the end zone and pylons. That was one thing that was very underrated, I think, is being able to do a big dive over 6'6", 6'7" offensive linemen. Holding on to the ball, that's a big thing too. Mm. Don't need to have the butterfingers. So that's the one thing to keep an eye on, because it did feel like last year he did lose the ball quite a few times. So just keep an eye on that. But you're right. I want to see Devontae, Renfrow, Waller, all these playmakers, man. You have 2 of the best route runners in the league and 1 of the best route running tight ends in the league. He's damn near a receiver at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Use those guys. Come on, Josh. There's no excuses.
So listen to these percentages here of percentages of red zone plays that were converted into touchdowns. Now, Buffalo, they led the league 66%. Of the time they scored a touchdown when they got to the red zone, 66%. That led the league. Tampa Bay at 65%, Seattle at 64%, San Francisco at 64%, Chargers 64%, Dallas 63%, New England 63%, Philadelphia 62%. Now, granted, if you're just converting red zone appearances into a touchdown, that's not the be all end all, because look at Seattle, look at Philadelphia. It's not like you need to be an elite team, but a lot of those teams that are up there are pretty damn good. Can you guess what the Raiders percentage was? So again, I just went down the list of teams. I just went down the list of 9 teams, and they ranged from 62 to 66%. So what do you think the Raiders was last year in terms of percentage?
Oh, 52.
49.
Jeez.
49. That's the fourth worst in the league. That was 29th in the league. You know the teams that are around them? Chicago, Detroit, the Giants, the Jags.
I was going to say they had to have been the worst playoff team easily last year to have, like, with that. What's the next playoff team on that list?
Oh, man. Let's take a look here. Panthers. Like, that's what, like, Bengals. Bengals at 54%. That was
that makes sense, too. Bad offensive line. Mm-hmm. Couldn't convert. Like,
yeah.
God, when you look back, just quick side note, when you look back on that, I have no idea how the Bengals got to the Super Bowl with that offensive line.
Yeah, I know, right?
Just credit to Joe Burrow and how amazing he is. They were damn near won the whole thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Like, that's not, it's not going to cut it, though, especially in this division. Like, you got to punch the ball in. There's nothing more deflating in the NFL than, like, driving all the way down. Like, let's say the Raiders get the ball first against the Chargers week one, driving down, get to the 5-yard line, first and goal, incomplete, stuffed, incomplete, field goal.
Yeah.
Like, that's demoralizing. Like, it's just like, yeah, you scored, great, but, like, you need to score touchdowns to win. That's just that's the NFL.
Right.
Like, you, and especially in this division, going up against Justin Herbert, Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, now Russell Wilson, Jerry Jeudy, like, all these guys, like, got to keep up with them.
Yep.
You cannot rely. Yes, you would like to think your defense would stop the other team from scoring, but in today's NFL, it's just not realistic. You got to put up points.
Yep. So, like, look, there needs to be improvements in the red zone, no question about it. But to Sean Reed, this is his latest from The Athletic at training camp. And Spadoni, I think for Raider fans, this is about as close to erotica as sports writing can possibly be. But the first paragraph. I'm being honest. But the first paragraph here, this was from yesterday in training camp. Devontae Adams didn't really look open, but Derek Carr threw the ball anyway. Nate Hobbs was playing good coverage on Adams and had safety help over the top, but Carr fits the pass in perfectly toward the left sideline and gave Adams a chance to go get it. Adams rose above Hobbs, secured the ball, and got both feet in bounds for what would have been a 40-yard gain. It's only practice, but the completion was an example of Carr's trust in Adams and his comfortability in Josh McDaniels' system.
Oh. Love that. Love Derek just taking chances. And you saw that more last year too. Like, he wasn't, and I think that I actually liked that. Like he took more risks instead of just rolling out and throwing it away. Like, hey, if it's there, let me lob it up. Like, now it didn't work all the time, but no. Darren Waller, throw it to him. He'll catch it 6 or 7 times out of 10 on those contested ones. And Darren makes a lot of difficult catches, and so does Devontae. So does Renfro for that matter. So that's great to see trust in that early. But you knew that, like, Devontae and Derek, they've just been having the synergy ever since college.
Yes.
They work out together, even all those years in Green Bay for Devontae in the offseason. Like, they are just so in sync. And Nate Hobbs, man, apparently, to all reports in training camp, he's been looking great. Like, iron sharpening iron against him and Devontae against the battles have been looking really good there. So that's really nice to see. Like, Nate Hobbs, people are saying he can be a top 5 corner. So we'll see. And Patrick Graham's discussing him as a quote. I hate this, by the way, this term football player, because John Gruden would say he's a football player.
Oh, no.
Like, he would say that all the time.
Oh,
but it's Patrick Graham, so it sounds better.
Oh, like, no. He's not doing the, oh, God. Who's the guy from the Saints? Why am I blanking on his name right now?
Taysom.
Taysom Hill. That was the guy he described as a football player.
He's a Swiss Army knife, Steve. Yeah,
this guy's a football player. So that's what Patrick Graham was saying about
Hobbs. Yeah, but in fairness, Nate Hobbs can actually play probably all the positions in the secondary. He's actually good, unlike Taysom Hill.
Yeah.
He was a bona fide, whatever. Yeah. I don't know what he is.
Yeah. Taysom Hill was also white.
He was. He stunk, dude. That Saints team should have been in the playoffs last year. Credit to Sean Payton, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyways, Nate Hobbs, I'm excited. Like, the secondary, I'm not as concerned about after previous years. You getting there, Steve? You getting pumped, baby?
Dude.
Feeling it?
The Adams, Renfro, and Waller thing. Oof. Like, part of the reason that Carr, I think, has been hesitant to throw the ball is because he didn't have those receivers where you could just throw it up and they could just go up and get it. And now it's like last year when Waller was out, if Renfro wasn't open, then you didn't really know where to go with the football. You know, Nelson Aguilar could have been that guy, but you know, he really wasn't that type of dude where it's just, okay, yeah, no matter where I throw it, he's going to go get that ball. Like Renfro, Waller, and Adams, all those guys, damn. And you know, reports out of, I mean, I haven't really seen much from Chiefs and Chargers camp, but out of Broncos camp, the Broncos and the Cowboys just had their first joint practice, but doesn't look like things are going too great for right now for the Broncos. At least Russell Wilson and the rest of the team have had trouble getting up to speed. I guess they had an okay practice lately, and they're starting to get into the swing of things. But ESPN had their football power index come out. You know, the power index where they simulate these teams and their schedule,
FPI, baby,
25,000 times. You know who they had? They had the Chiefs, the Chargers, and the Broncos all as Super Bowl contenders just because of their projection. And it all has to do with Russell Wilson. They didn't even have the Raiders on that. They didn't even have the Raiders on that list. Isn't that crazy?
It's all quarterback. Like, that's just the narrative. Like, that's just what it's going to be. And Derek Carr is going to be the guy to, you know, make or break this season. Like, it comes down to him.
Yeah.
Like, he can shut up a lot of people this year, Derek Carr. And I was listening to it was Kyle Madsen filling in for Dibs today on Willard and Dibs, Mark Willard, and they were talking to us. I was like, I turned on the radio first time after vacation, 95.7 The Game, and they're talking about Derek Carr. I was like, what is going on? Like, and they're just talking about expectations. Like, Mark's like, he's a very good quarterback, but he's not great. I was like, that's fair.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to be great, you're in the top 10 all the time. Like, and Derek Frint, like, he can play great at times, but he also cannot play great. And the greats play great all the time. And if they don't, they make plays to win the game. That said, like, they were going through the motions, but, and then Mark was like, you know what? Having said that, it's not crazy if Derek Carr wins the MVP this year. Mm. Like, the things that have to go, like, what, like, he could have, like, and Kyle was saying too, like, he can have over 30, 35 touchdowns and 10 picks and absolutely win the MVP. Like, you'd probably think he'd have to win the division, obviously. So you'd have to win the division and outplay guys like Aaron Rodgers, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes. Like,
yeah.
But with this offense and McDaniels at the helm, like, he could absolutely be put in that position. You think back to when Brady had all those, and I'm not comparing Derek Carr to Tom Brady. Like, that's just not fair to Derek. The greatest quarterback of all time.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not even a comparison. But you just think about the weapons that Tom had around him and what McDaniels was able to do with that. Like, sky's the limit. Two tight end sets. You look at Morrow. You look at – oh, my God. I'm just thinking about it now. Like, and I'm not saying Waller and Waller and Moreau or Gronkowski and Hernandez, but you just start getting those images in your mind. Like, man, it could be special, Steve. And Derek can shut up a lot of people if he just shows up, plays his best, man.
Like, we only got three more games until we actually see Derek Carr. We're not going to see him in the preseason.
No.
So we'll see him in 3 weeks. But the next time we will be seeing the Raiders on the field is this Sunday against the Vikings. Now, my question to you is there a certain position group that you're looking out for? Is there a certain player that you're excited to watch in this one? Or is it just watching the game as a whole and maybe trying to create more, I don't know, to have more of an evaluation? Because it's hard after the Hall of Fame game just to look at for me at least, this is just me. Zamir White might be that guy, but it's hard for me to make it. It's easy just to make an evaluation on him because he had 11 carries, but this is really like, I mean, that's just an extra preseason game. So this almost counts as week one for the Raiders.
I know, which kind of sucks. Like, you'd think they should change that. Whoever plays in the Hall of Fame game should not have to play another extra preseason game. Like, that's just useless.
Agreed. It's stupid. Like,
I would hope they're getting compensated extra at least for the player's sake. I think they are, but yeah, I mean, I'm just looking out. Just no injuries. Just no injuries.
Yeah.
I am interested to see if we can get another returner. Like, I don't like Ren. Like, we talked about this last time. I don't like Renfro catching punts, especially now that he got paid. I understand, like, he's shifty. He can get you a 10 to 15 yard chunk. And that's what Edelman was for a long time, and Hogan over in New England. But yeah, I'm good off that.
Yeah. I'm good off that. Yeah, I agree with you. I don't need to see that.
And Carlson's money, by the way, like, even in preseason, like, he's just kicking. I want him to see, like, if they're in the range, Let him do a 65 yarder. Let him do a 71. Shout out to Lane Kiffin. Am I right?
He gave him a 32 yarder and a 55 yarder in the first quarter. Daniel Carlson, one of the most accurate kickers in the NFL. I don't know what.
Well, revenge game for him too against the Vikings. There you go.
So Justin Hall was this guy. Maybe Amir Abdullah can be him, the returner. I don't know, but hopefully they don't go with Renfro, because he's going to be way too vital for the offense to actually put him as a returner. Like, it's just, you can't do that. I don't think it's going to happen either.
You have the best play in special teams last year. Like, I don't give me all your punt returns for touchdowns. Dude popped the fake punt against the Chargers last year.
Yes. Yes. Oh, what a play.
That was one of the coolest plays of the year by far. They lost the game, but that play was sick. That read it perfectly. Great. That was a hit stick from Hunter Renfro. I didn't expect that.
That was the best. I'll just say a couple of guys that I'm going to be looking out for in this one. Number one is Malcolm Kuntz. I want to see what he looks like as an edge rusher, because, you know, Chandler Jones and Max Crosby, it's great with those two. But if somebody gets hurt, then if one of those guys gets hurt, which could happen, it's football. You never know. I want to see that they at least have somebody back there who can take over and not exactly match what they're doing, but at least just help. And then on the other side of the ball, it continues to be the offensive line, man. Dylan Parham, Lester Cotton, you know, Alex Leatherwood, all those guys. Alex Leatherwood had a couple of nice plays in that game against the Jaguars, and it's not as sexy to talk about, but really that's the position group that's up in question here. The wide receivers, they're still trying to get figured out as far as who's going to be their, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth receivers. They don't really have that sorted out yet. But cut down days are in a week, so it's actually kind of cool, because when these games happen, you know that these guys are fighting for their football lives here. So, you know, in the third and fourth quarters, I know people don't really care, but man, when you're watching guys just really fight for their job, you know, make plays and then catch up with all the cuts. I know it's only going to be like, I believe it's just five that are cut after this week. I think it goes 90 to 85, and then it goes 85 to 80. Then it goes 80 to 53. So that's the big one there. Man, but it's just a preseason game where some guys are fighting for their lives. Mark Jackson.
Fighting for my life. Shout out Mark Jackson.
Yeah.
It's what makes football awesome, man. Like, it's just, it's the hardest sport, like separating the men from the boys. And man, like, you just look, it's like the stories are always the coolest part you see in the NFL when it comes to some of these guys, like that just undrafted, like a Jalen Richard, like he's not on the Raiders anymore, but I think about that guy a lot, like just an undrafted guy got his opportunity and ran with it. And he was a vital part for the Raiders. Like, I'm glad they got to get a taste of the postseason at least one last time before they moved on from him, because he was our running back for the longest time until Jacobs came along. Like, you thought it was going to be DeAndre Washington. You thought it was going to be, I don't know, Marshawn. And then that, speaking of him, that wasn't good over this. Did you see that? Not good. Not looking good for Marshawn over the weekend.
Nah, that was terrible, man.
That was disappointing to see that.
Yeah, I hated that.
Yeah, that sucked. But not to get off on a tangent, but yeah, I mean, it's the preseason. And it's always so funny when I'm watching a preseason game. I was doing this in the Hall of Fame. Like, why do I care if the Raiders win? Like, I don't want them to lose. Like, it's funny going, because I like looking at other teams' social feeds during games to see what's going, like, just to gauge the temperature of other fans. And I was doing, it was like, whatever it was, 20 whatever to nothing, the Jaguars are losing. Just, and they would post the recap after every quarter. All right, going into fourth, 26 nothing Raiders. We suck. I knew this. Trevor Lawrence can't help this team. Doug Peterson was the worst coaching hire ever. Score a touchdown or two. Okay. All right. We'll be fine. It's just living and dying on preseason. Fans are just, it's just what makes fans so funny, man. Just living and dying with everything. And football's so unique in that way. You live and die on every single play. It's not like baseball where it's like, okay, we have a game tomorrow. If we win, I'm back. Basketball, same thing. It's like, all right, whatever. We lost after it's halftime. We're getting blown out.
Yeah.
Football, it's every single play, Steve. Every single play. Hey, Josh Jacobs, 10-yard run. Oh, we're so back.
I know, right?
You see what Zamir White? Oh, you kidding me? Oh, Carlson's hitting. Oh, Steve. Stidham's backup option.
Do I have to show the picture of the text message that you sent me last year? which was with 9 minutes left in the first quarter. You said this game's done. Raiders are done after 3 minutes. Three minutes.
If not for Carlson, it would have been done. Whatever, 25 seconds left to send it into overtime.
You said they're done with 9 minutes left in the first quarter. And then at the end when they won, you said never a doubt.
Never doubted them. Never doubted them.
Real quick, man, this is just something I just saw. Derek Burgess, it's his birthday today. He was born on August 12th, 1978. And Derek Burgess, I always go back to that 2005 season, man, where he had 16 sacks. Then he followed it up with 11 that following year. Derek Burgess doesn't get enough love among Raider fans because for a couple of years, man, he was solid. I don't know.
He was. I kind of, those years honestly are a blur for me, Steve, just kind of trying to push those out of your mind.
Yeah.
But no, dude, he led the league in sacks, all pro, like, out of Ole Miss. Yeah, I remember. He was on that. I do remember him being on that Philly team that went to the Super Bowl.
Yes.
That's what you most remember him too, when they played the Patriots.
Yes.
With Javon Kearse. Like, that was a really fun group. They got after Brady in that game. So, Javon Kearse, if he didn't get hurt, he would have been a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Like, that guy was so, what was it? The Freak, right? The that freak. Was his nickname. Dude, just so sick.
Yeah. Going back to his time all the way in Tennessee too. Javon Kearse was nasty. Yep.
So nasty. Then he got that back injury or whatever it was, or what, hip injury. Those just killers for big guys. So, Rick Burgess, shout out. Happy birthday. Is that
happy birthday to Derek?
43.
I wanted to end this on a light note, man. You know, the Marshawn stuff, I was going to mention that too. It's just all, that's a lot. But you know what? Whatever. We're going to end it on the Derek Burgess.
Yeah, good note. Well, I was going to say also, like, if you want a baseball note, you see Fernando Tatis just got popped.
Yeah.
Steroids.
Yeah. 80 games.
Yep. Hey. San Diego, gonna San Diego, and the Chargers think they left San Diego, but they're still the Chargers. So
yeah, still go. Are still San Diego. All right, Spadoni, it's been a good episode. We'll watch on Sunday, then we'll have like a quick recap. We'll try and get a couple episodes out per week here. See what we see in the Raiders against the Vikings. But football is officially back. Cannot wait. But then I'm gonna be clamoring for the regular season after this game, because that's how it always goes after the first real game. All right, Spadoni. Have a good weekend. Have a good weekend, everyone. Thanks so much for tuning in here. You can catch this right under the pregame show umbrella, the pregame show channel. Just search up and you'll see Black Hole Sundays. We have a different graphic for it and everything. Me and Joe Spadoni, we're going to continue to fight to get that channel at some point this season, that separate channel. But as for now, just go to the pregame show, 95.7 The Game, Odyssey app, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. That's going to do it for us. All right. Thanks, everybody. Raider Nation forever.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.